ongoing tests and is really not up for calls or company or visits. So let's respect that, and we will carry on and do her proud. Claire?
I have a few announcements today. First, if you are participating in today's Adopt a Highway cleanup, please gather at the front foyer at 11:45. Any questions, see Jerry. Just a reminder also, please sign up in the social hall on the committees in the Make a Joyful Noise campaign. Keep our church functioning. Please share the ministry. Today we are videotaping people, activities, and places in our church for a video clip that will be added to the LCUUC website and to our Facebook page to use in our public presence publicity. If you do not wish to be videotaped or have your children videotaped, please let either Reverend Amy Shaw or Paula Hillman know in writing. Email addresses to use for an opt-out request are minister@lcuuc.org and misc.hillman@gmail.com. I'd like to invite Kaya Rollins up, please.
For something you can do to help the homeless here in our own Lake Country area, did you know our church is a host site 4 weeks a year for the Family Promise program? Our next hosting week is May 21st to May 28th this month. We are always in need of volunteers during the week to make our guest families feel comfortable and welcome here. It is a great way to get involved, and you don't have to go far, only to our front doors. LCUUC and COR, with the help of the LCUUC Middle School Youth, will be hosting a Family Promise training session after service for new volunteers or existing volunteers who might like a refresher. Anyone can attend the free training, member or visitors that are age 12 and up. Once you have completed a training session, you are then able to volunteer to help during any of the future Family Promise host weeks. There is a table set up in the foyer today, and if you would like to attend the training, please stop at the table. Registration opens at 11:30 a.m., and the training session is from noon to 2 p.m. in the sanctuary, although the training might not take the full 2 hours. There will be refreshments available. Thank you.
Another announcement today, our designated collection for the collection today is for the Waukesha Food Pantry. All loose coins and bills and any check with Waukesha Food Pantry written in the memo line will go to the food pantry. Today's order of service includes announcements of other upcoming church activities, and we look forward to everyone joining in. Please take a moment at this point to silence all electronics you may have here with you today as we begin our service. Thank you.
come into this space and be present with one another. Reach out for human contact. Hear human voices and know you are not alone. On this incredible journey called life, come, let us worship here together. Please take a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to your neighbor.
Our chalice glows today with the light of the human spirit and the fire of the human heart. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our opening hymn, number 188, Come, Come, Whoever You Are. We will sing it through three times. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to bring a message of hope and grace to an imperfect world. My name is Claire Johnson, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. No matter who you are or where you've come from, you are welcome here. We welcome those who have some of the answers, and those who have none of the answers, and those who aren't sure they're asking the right questions at all. As a UUA-recognized welcoming congregation, we welcome and affirm all people, regardless of who they love or what pronouns they use. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service, and while you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about our church. We are glad that you have chosen to be here today to celebrate and worship with us.
singing Bread and Roses. Many of us have sung it out of the hymnal. It was written for the Bread and Roses strike of 1912, and the music was added to it at that time. The music was very appropriate to that time period. However, we're not going to be singing that version today. In the 1970s, Joan Baez and her sister rewrote the music to be more in keeping with the robust culture of protest that was going on in our country at that time. So we're going to be singing this new melody, and you'll be able to follow along. So here's the setup. The words are in your order of service, and you'll notice that there is a number, a handwritten number with a circle around it. That is the number that marks the location that corresponds to the number in the words where you will be joining in. So what we're going to be doing is layering into this song. All right, any questions about that? All right. So Karen is going to start off, and she is going to sing the first verse twice. This is going to happen so that those of you who are not familiar with the tune will be able to hear the tune and join in when your number comes up. So when your number comes up, if you would please stand and sing. Everyone else can sit until your number comes up, and then if you would stand and join everyone in. The purpose of this format today is to give you the experience of feeling the power of unity, the power of one. I'm going to tell you a little story about the Bread and Roses strike. Some of you know that I love telling stories about songs. In Lawrence, Massachusetts, the industrial age was in full swing. The textile mills provided employment for women, children, and immigrants. The hours were long, and the working conditions were very, very hard. 50% of the children were maimed or injured in those mills. And the average lifespan expectancy was only 25. In today's money, they earned $3.10 an hour. And often whole families went to work in the mill from the peewees on up to be able to make enough money to feed their families in spite of the working conditions. They asked for improved conditions. And in response, the mill owners cut their wages. The cry went out, and thousands of workers left their workstations to stand out in the cold. This was January in Massachusetts. The strike went on for 2 months, and 10,000 people a day stood out front and picketed. The Bread and Roses strike was the first successful collective bargaining unit for women in the United States. And the miracle of this organizing was that the women, with the help of the organizers, dared to protest. They didn't even have the vote then, and they dared to protest. They came together from dozens of mills, speaking 25 different languages, to answer this call for a common cause.
Marching, marching in the beauty of the day. A million kitchens darkened, a thousand mill offs gray are touched by all the radiance that a thousand suns discloses. People singing bread and roses, bread and roses.
One of the ways we care for the wider community is by contributing to local food pantries, both financially and through the collection of non-perishable food items, which we donate each month. If you have food items to share, please bring them forward at this point in the service, or ask a child to bring them forward for you, and I invite the children to stay up front and enjoy a story. Our story today is a Turkish folktale about a wise man who lived hundreds of years ago, and his name is Nasruddin Hoj. And the Hoj is like a saying Mr. or Sir. And so we are going to begin our story, if we're ready. One day, as Nasruddin Hoj was walking through the forest, I think I see him. Yes. He came upon a peasant cutting wood. It was hard, heavy work. And every blow of the axe on the wood took all the force the peasant could muster. As the Hoja watched, he heard someone saying,
"Ha! Ha! Ha!"
every time the axe came down on the wood. There on a log sat the woodcutter's companion. And faithfully, with every blow, he said, "Huh." The Hoja wondered at this, but he went on his way without saying anything. Hoja, would you care to have a seat? Honored, sir. In a few days, the peasant went to the bazaar with his load of wood and sold it for a fair sum in coins. As he slipped the coins into his pocket, his companion rushed up.
"Hey, half that money is mine. I did half the work."
"This is a matter for the judge."
The woodcutter said,
"I cut the wood with my own two hands. I worked very hard and should be paid for my work."
"And what did you do?"
"I supervised and watched carefully. No one has ever made such a perfect hum sound as I did each time he struck the wood."
"I witnessed this. I know. From witnessing, you had perfect noise. And so, do you hear this?"
"Yes."
"So the sound is yours." "And the coins are yours."
"Thank you."
"This case is dismissed."
"May I have our lantern bearer?" May the light and love of our chalice lead you today and every day. Please help in join in and singing the children out to their classes. The song is called "You Shall Go Out," and the words are written in your order of service.
Oh,
What makes our church a church is not the building or the minister, but you could have fooled me, or the services, but the community of individuals who have decided to learn and grow together. From time to time this year, we have individuals from the congregation share a little bit about their journey with all of us during a service. Today, we will be hearing from member Bud Hudson. Bud, you want to use that lectern?
No.
Oh, well then.
Thanks, Eric, for the invitation, okay, to speak, but no more than 30 minutes. I usually give 45-minute lectures, so I had to cut back. We, Sarah and Bud Hudson, choose to belong to LCUUC because LCUUC, its principles, its members, and its activities address some of our basic needs. And what are those needs? To be active intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, and compassionately at personal, local, national, and international levels. Okay, Eric, done. Oh, what? A little bit more about ourselves. Okay, here goes. Our past has been rich with many wonderful experiences. Here's a few highlights. An incredibly rewarding family life with our three children, ultimately with their three spouses and their six daughters, two each, by the way. Secondly, wonderfully structured and successful educational opportunities at Albion College in Michigan, highlighted because Sarah and I met there. University of California, Berkeley, 1 year, Yale Divinity School, 1 year, and University of Illinois, 5 years. Rewarding and eye-opening teaching careers at Brushy Plains Elementary School and Branford High School in Connecticut, Earlham College in Richmond, Indiana, Carroll University and Rose Glen Elementary School, both in Waukesha, and religious connections to Congregational, Methodist, Quaker, Unitarian, and Presbyterian churches. International relationships with friends, especially from Cuba, Mexico, Guatemala, Nicaragua, and Kenya. Involvement with ESL, English as a Second Language, tutoring of U.S. residents from Mexico. And one of the spinoffs, by the way, is our selection, Sarah and me, to be honored as the padrinos, or the godparents, at the wedding of two of them, which will take place this July. Stimulating discussions, programs, and actions with members of our Peace Seekers of Washington County, which has been a real high for us, and many other wonderful experiences, part of our journey. However, as our official teaching careers are in the past, and we and our friends are getting older, you may have noticed, the desire for an inspiring, motivating, and challenging environment loomed larger and larger. And LCUUC was here. With Amy, and Amy, know that all of us are thinking of you now. With Amy as an endless reservoir of new perspectives and stimulation. With the Black Lives Matter banners. With the Social Justice Committee and the incredible members there. With Family Promise, with a diverse array of talented and productive church members, with the ever creative and stimulating music, with the meditation opportunities, with the welcoming statements always endlessly inclusive, with the incredible commitment to being a green church, with a wonderful group of younger people, from the kids to the high schoolers to the college bound. Hi, Ethan and Evan. With the marvelous circle lunches, dinners, incredible one again yesterday. Thank you. And with this proximity to Hartford, our home. All of these and more made our decision a no-brainer. So, thank you. Gracias. Asante sana, LCUU Sears. We feel as though our needs are being addressed. May we in some small way make a contribution to you. Here's a closing haiku. LCUUC puts you where you want to be, well, most of the time. Thank you.
May our stories be a blessing to one another and to our community. Thank you, Bud. A disclaimer is in order. When Amy realized that she wasn't going to be able to take the pulpit yesterday, she called her chair of worship arts, me, and asked me to fill in, but she had already prepared the service, and these are her words, and it will be her sermon that I'll be reading. And this is her story, her joke. A poor preacher trained his horse to go when he said, "Praise the Lord," and to stop when he said, "Amen." Desperate for funding for his little church, the preacher agreed when a congregant challenged him to a horse race, $500 to the winner. The preacher mounted his horse, said, "Praise the Lord," and the horse went like the wind. For a mile it was a dead heat, and he yelled, "Praise the Lord," over and over, urging the horse faster. The horse, overexcited from all the yelling, veered from the road and started toward the edge of a cliff. The preacher shouted, "Whoa!" Then he remembered and said loudly, "Amen." And the horse stopped right at the edge of the cliff. The preacher was so relieved and grateful, he looked up to the heaven and said, "Praise the Lord." Our designated collection today is for the Waukesha Food Pantry. All loose coins and bills and any checks with Waukesha Food Pantry in the memo line will go to the food pantry. The offering will now be given and received. Thank you for these gifts given and received for the work of this community. As a community of human hands and human hearts, this is the time in our service where we come together to bear witness to one another's lives. Before the service, you are always welcome to light a candle on the candle table. But during the service, we speak aloud, and the worship associate lights candles for us. would you light the first candle for Amy, please? And then if you would like to share a joy or need to have us be with you in holding a concern, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
Hi, my name's Debbie, and some of you may know that I moved to Mexico, so I haven't been around. But now I'm a little bit of a nomad because my stepmother in my hometown of Colorado Springs has broken her hip and her arm. And she takes care of my father in their own home, and he has pretty severe dementia. So I was there last week, and I'm in my element doing this type of care, the tubes and wounds and beeping and stitches and bringing dogs in is an arena that I'm comfortable in. And I'm eternally grateful to be able to give care for them as they are going to lose their independence. But I took 4 days out of my caregiving, 2 days to go to St. Paul to see my daughter, and 2 days here, and I'm eternally grateful to feel this community that I love so much. Thank you. So a candle for my parents. Thank you.
Hi, this is Paula and Greg. We have a joy to share. We celebrated our anniversary yesterday, 45 years.
This is Sarah, and I have a candle of joy to light, please, for my my soulmate husband, who is turning a prime number birthday today, and I'll let you try to figure out what that number would be.
39. Hi. This is Esther. This week we got a sudden phone call that my brother-in-law was near death. He had been in a nursing home and in hospital for almost 2 months. I don't know if this is on. Is it on?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Anyway, his funeral was yesterday. If you could light a candle of concern for my sister Clara, who's 78, but she is very active. So that's a good thing. So light a candle for her.
Hello, everyone. This is Gus. I am happy to say that Jimbo brought me a 17-year coin to celebrate my 17th anniversary of sobriety.
Eric and I are fighting over the microphone because neither one of us wants it. Because we're going to see...
Well, the Sue's dad is going through a difficult time, first of all, and has been suffering from brain cancer, but closer to home and more imminent and very different, but very sad in our lives right now, as our family dog, Toby, is probably not going to last the week. He's been a friend for a very long time. It's very sad.
On a brighter note, at the beginning, well, last year when I was on sabbatical, I said the only way I was going to be able to come back to teaching was to make this year be fun. And wrapping up the year and having my animal behavior majors over for donuts on reading day this week, I decided that I had accomplished my mission. So.
Hi, this is Mayor, and I want to ask for a candle of concern for my dear stepdaughter, Amber. Her grandmother is near hospice, care. She's suffering, and Amber is very sad about it. So I just want to ask for prayers for Dolores. Thank you.
And we'll light one last candle for those joys and concerns which we hold in our hearts, but which have not been named here today.
Our first reading, Open Letter to the South by Langston Hughes, is a call for workers of all colors to rise up against oppression. White workers of the South, miners, farmers, mechanics, mill hands, shop girls, railway men, servants, tobacco workers, sharecroppers, greetings. I am the black worker. Listen. That the land might be ours, and that the mines and the factories and the office towers at Harlan, Richmond, Gastonia, Atlanta, New Orleans, that the plants and the roads and the tools of power be ours. Let us forget what Booker T. said, separate as the fingers. Let us become instead, you and I, one single hand that can united rise to smash the old dead dogmas of the past. To kill the lies of color that keep the rich enthroned, that drive us to the time clock and the plow. Helpless, stupid, scattered, and alone as now, race against race, because one is black, another white of face. Let us new lessons learn. All workers, new lifeways make, one union form. Until the future burns out, every past mistake, let us together say, you are my brother, black or white. You are my sister, now today. For me, no more, the great migration to the north. Instead, migration into force and power. Tuskegee with a new flag on the tower. And on every lynching tree, a poster crying free. Because, oh poor white workers, you have linked your hands with me. We did not know that we were brothers. Now we know. Out of that brotherhood, let power grow. We did not know that we were strong. Now we see in the union lies our strength. Let unions be the forces that breaks the time clock, smashes misery, takes land, takes factories, takes office towers, takes tools and banks and mines, railroads, ships, and dams, until the forces of the world are ours. White worker, here is my hand. Today we're man to man. Here ends the first reading.
Let us join together in a few moments of silent meditation and feel the power of our sitting together in silence.
Go slow, they say, while the bite of the dog is fast. Go slow, I hear, while they tell me, you can't eat here, you can't live here, you can't work here. Don't demonstrate, wait, while they lock the gate. Am I supposed to be God or an angel with wings? And a halo on my head while jobless I starve to death? Am I supposed to forgive and meekly live, going slow, slow, slow? Slow, slow, slow. Slow, slow, slow. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing number 197. There are numerous strings.
Last week when he was talking, and all of a sudden he catches two piano players approaching out of the corner of his eye, and he knew his time was over. I felt the same way this morning when they approached and said, you need to explain this hymn. First of all, are there any civil engineers here who have designed a roundabout or any merging lanes? Because that's what it takes. Take a look at the top of the hymn. This is hymn number 197, and refrain. You keep coming back to the refrain. It's like the roundabout, and it throws you out someplace else. At the end of the refrain, it says to verses 1 through 3. Verse 1 is kind of the middle of the first page. Okay, easy enough. And you sing to where you come to the DS, go to the sign, and the sign is at the beginning of the refrain. It's a little funky sign. Looks like a combination of the F hole and a guitar and a percent sign. And then you go back there, you sing the refrain again, and then you go back out where it says to verses 1 through 3, so you skip to verse 2. That's the kind of the second line in the second page. Okay. Yeah, who designed this? Who wrote this? Anyway, you sing the second verse, you go to the DS again, you go back to the roundabout, you go through the refrain, verse 3. Verse 3 is like the end of the middle line on the second page, and it starts out with, in the dance of your festival. You sing that, go to the bottom, you've got the final trip to the back to the roundabout, the DS. Sing that, and it says you go to the fourth ending, which at that point you're singing, that's all you have to do there. So, clear as mud.
Thank you.
There's a Hezekiah Walker song that was sung at our UUA General Assembly last year, and that I've heard at various times during this year. Here are some of the words. I need you. You need me. We're all part of one body. Stand with me. Agree with me. You are important to me. I need you to survive. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. You are important to me. I need you to survive. That's a UU version of Walker's original, slightly more Christian words, but the point is clear. We are all part of something larger than ourselves. Our humanness depends on our ability to work together, to find the places where we can agree and to move forward. We are stronger together. In 2009, a Belgian commercial for a public transportation company called De Lin said the same thing in a different way. If you Google penguins on an iceberg, you will find it. It shows a group of cartoon penguins floating along peacefully on a chunk of ice, when suddenly an orca fin rises up out of the water and begins to circle them. You watch the orca come out of the water, mouth open, teeth showing, speeding toward the defenseless penguins. And then one of the birds gets an idea, and they all cluster together, shuffling toward one end of the iceberg. And that causes it to sink and the other end to rise. And then the orca, bam, into a wall of ice, while the penguins snicker. We travel safer together. By the 1880s, working people in America realized that they too needed one another to survive. And over the next 80 years, the unions rose. The realization that average people could band together for power was transformational, and it changed our country. I'm not going to spend a lot of time giving you a history lesson today, but in 1954, 35% of American workers belonged to a union. That is an amazing percentage, over a third of workers in the country. And the reason that they joined those unions was that without them, without the power of collective bargaining, without the power of other people willing to stand together, conditions for the American worker had been beyond abysmal. In Kentucky and West Virginia, men worked for hours in coal mines with shafts which did not allow them to stand to their full height. They worked for company script rather than cash. They inhaled coal dust until their lungs were as black as their faces, and they died at 48 or 50. Little boys worked next to them, and often they died next to them. In New England, it was textiles, and both men and women inhaled fabric fibers until their lungs were filled with cotton and doused their hands and bodies in caustic dyes. People operated dangerous machinery without safety equipment, and children stood for 12 hours in one place pulling levers and snipping threads. Fires like the one at the Triangle Shirtwaist Company in 1911 claimed lives. 146 people died there alone because there were no safety measures, and many of the desperately poor workers died where they fell on the property. Exit doors were chained shut so as to prevent theft, and so when the fire broke out, there was nowhere to go. The union stopped the abuses of the robber barons who made their fortunes off the work of the common person. For the first time, workers realized the power which came from negotiating together, from choosing leadership from among themselves, from saying, "No one of us will allow you to use us. You must deal fairly with us all, or no work will be done." Democratically elected leadership representing common people, a voice for people who had been voiceless. Unions helped to shape the world in ways which allowed the worth and dignity of each worker to be recognized. They helped give us the 8-hour workday, overtime, health and safety laws and rules, child labor laws. By working collaboratively, the formerly voiceless, the formerly invisible, can change the world. But it wasn't without struggle. In the United States, we recognized the power of organized labor and of working people on May 1st, International Workers' Day. And that day was picked because in 1886, as labor unions were in their infancy, May 1st was the day when a general strike in support of an eight-hour workday began in Chicago. By May 4th, things had heated up, and the police were sent to disperse a public assembly that was supporting the strike. And then it all went wrong. As the police neared the assembly, someone threw a bomb. The police responded, of course, by opening fire on the march. Hundreds of the labor leaders and sympathizers were rounded up later in retribution, and four were hung after an unfair trial. The whole event came to be known as the Haymarket Affair. The day after the bomb was thrown, May 5th, here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the state militia fired on another crowd of strikers. At the end, there were seven more dead, including a little boy coming home from school and a man feeding chickens in his own yard. By 1891, May Day had been created to commemorate those lost in the Haymarket Affair and the work they had done toward advancing the rights of the workers. After the May Day riots of 1894, the International Socialist Congress of 1904 called on, this is a quote, "all social democratic party organizations and trade unions of all countries to demonstrate energetically on the 1st of May for the legal establishment of the 8-hour day, for the class demands of the proletariat, and for universal peace." The Congress made it mandatory upon the proletariat organizations of all countries to stop work on May 1st, wherever it is possible without injury to the workers. As Unitarian Universalists, this matters to us, because in our quest to recognize the worth and dignity of each person, we are called to value and honor the labor of those who work. No human being should ever be a slave, and we are called to ensure no person should be asked to provide their labor without sufficient pay. But make no mistake, the power of the people to organize is under great challenge in America today. In our country today, the unions have been weakened. In 2016, only 10% of working people now had a union to help them. Minimum wage has not kept up with inflation or the cost of living. Manufacturing jobs are disappearing. It is up to us. It is up to human hands and human hearts to do the work of helping to protect the workers. It is up to us to be the penguins on the ice floe and to remember that we need one another to survive. It is up to us to invest ethically and to shop ethically and to use the money and privilege that we have to help lend strength to those who work with their hands. It is up to us to say that we will support union organizations and union shops. It is up to us to fight for fair wages. It is up to us to speak up and stand up and rise up for one another. It is up to us to vote. It is up to us to call upon our elected officials to protect the rights of working people. And it does not matter if you are Republican or Democrat or independent or socialist or nothing much at all. This is all our issue. This is an American issue. This is a human rights issue. We are better together. We are stronger together. We must rise up for our siblings across this country because we are all the people. John Hyatt said it well in his song, Through Your Hands. He said, you were dreaming on a park bench about a broad highway somewhere when the music from the carillon seemed to hurt your heart out there, past the scientific darkness, past the fireflies that float, to an angel bending down to wrap you in her warmest coat. And you ask, what am I not doing? She says, your voice cannot command. In time, you will move mountains, and it will come through your hands. Still, you argue for an option. Still, you angle for your case, like you wouldn't know a burning bush if it blew up in your face. Yeah, we scheme about the future, and we dream about the past, when just a simple reaching out might build a bridge that lasts. So whatever your hands find to do, you must do with all your heart. There are thoughts enough to blow men's minds and tear great worlds apart. There's a healing touch to find you on that broad highway somewhere, to lift you high as music flying through the angel's hair. Don't ask what you're not doing, because your voice cannot command. In time, we will move mountains, and it will come through your hands. Amen.
We extinguish this chalice, but remember that nothing can extinguish the collective human spirit. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our closing hymn this week, number 1021 in the teal hymnal, Lean on Me.
One another, hold one another up. May your hands always find the work you are called to do. Peace, and may it be so.